Actually, I'm going to begin by showing another video. And in this video, it's the I think, hilarious comic, Bob Newhart. He is a psychologist, and Bob Newhart only charges $5 for the first 5 minutes in this clip, but his sessions usually never last more than 5 minutes. And we'll find out why, I guess, when we watch this.
Go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
I imagine many of us, perhaps most of us, wish it were that easy to overcome our fear, anxiety, and worry. Just stop it. But that's what Jesus tells us in today's text. Jesus is maybe a little more gentle about it, but he's telling us to stop it. In last week's text, Jesus warned us against trusting in earthly treasures and instead do what will build up heavenly treasures. Serve and worship him. Take care of the poor, the homeless, the orphan, the widow, the prisoner. Share the gospel message of eternal life with others. And you can't do that if you're chasing after worldly riches or you spend your time making idols out of stuff. He says you cannot serve two masters. But those earthly treasures that abundance some people chase after aren't what we need for the day-to-day survival. We need the basic necessities to live on this earth. We need food and water and air and shelter and clothing. Those are things we have to have. And so some people worry about having a closet full of clothing. Are they the latest styles? Will I look as good as the Kardashians? Are 24 pair of shoes enough? That is worrying about amassing earthly treasures. But other people struggle in life and they're worried because their children's only shoes have holes and winter's coming on and they can't afford a new pair. Or they're outgrowing their clothes and they can't afford new or even gently used clothes. My mom wore out the thrift stores and the garage sales putting 5 kids in clothing. They worry because they're not sure if their only vehicle will get them to work each day. Some folks feel like they're truly on the edge of survival, and so they worry. But worry is not just relegated to the poor. In fact, it seems the more you have, the more you have to worry about. People worry about jobs and relationships and homes and retirement and the stock market and their favorite sports teams and finances and possessions and reputation and status and health. You know, I had a really big worry taken off my plate this weekend because I was always worried that KU would be the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed. That's off the table now, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, they need to just outlaw WebMD right now, too. That's just, you get on that, you type in a couple of symptoms, you think you're going to die 14 different ways before Wednesday. Okay, it's just all the bad stuff that comes down on you. And so whether all your needs are met and you just worry about secondary things, or you literally worry about the basic necessities, Jesus says, stop it. Matthew 6:25 says, I tell you, do not be anxious about this life. He doesn't say, try not to worry. He doesn't say, try to worry less. He doesn't give you a list of things that it's okay to worry about. In fact, he lists the bare necessities to get by, and he says, stop worrying about it. And I want to address something real quick right here, get it out of the way. I understand some people have certain chemical imbalances that in their brains, they need medication to straighten that out. Okay, I'm not condemning that at all. This isn't any different than if you have a blood sugar imbalance and you need medication for that. Some people just need medication. I also understand people have gone through some very traumatic life events that require counseling. Frankly, I would use only a Christian counselor for that. But, you know, if you blow out your knee and you have to have reconstructive surgery, you're going to have to spend some time in physical therapy, right, rehab, to get back to your best possible strength. Well, if you experience something truly emotionally traumatic, okay, you may need some psychological therapy to get your mind and emotions back to their best possible state. I don't think everyone in therapy needs to be there. There are probably some people in therapy that aren't in therapy that ought to be. Either way, I'm pretty sure as a society, we're also over-medicated. So there's lots of different things in here that are at play, and some people really need that help. But if you worry at all, you are dealing with some level of anxiety. And Jesus is talking to you today. Whatever level you're at, Jesus is talking to you today. Okay? I can't look at anyone and tell them, well, you're just not praying enough, or you just don't have enough faith, okay? Because I don't know your heart like Jesus does. But I can encourage you to listen to the words of Jesus and examine your own life, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, determine if you are doing everything you can to root out the worry in your life. And so Jesus says, stop it. But he doesn't stop there. He also gives us some solutions to the questions he knows we will ask, which is, how do I stop it? That's our question. Nobody wants to worry. Nobody wants to be enveloped in anxiety. How do I stop it? Jesus says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so he says, don't be anxious about life, what you eat, drink, etc. But then he says, life is more than the things we eat. And it seems like Jesus is saying life, okay, like the food and the daily sustenance. And then he's saying life, which is our eternal life, okay, the bigger picture. So he's saying, don't be anxious about life, because life is more than all this. Okay, our eternal life, our destiny in heaven with Jesus forever is so much more than the stuff that's going on in this little bitty 70, 80 years that we get on this earth. So in order to stop this anxiety, I think Jesus is just trying to give us a different perspective. Look at things a little differently. We need to change from worldly thinking to kingdom thinking. Can I see tomorrow? I can't see tomorrow. I can make a pretty good prediction, though. I'm going to predict the sun will rise and I will rise. And it will be pretty much a Monday just like all the other Mondays. But see, sometimes we get caught up with what if. What if I don't get up? What if I get in a bad car wreck? And it's what if, what if, what if. And you know, we can't see tomorrow. We have no idea, but we still worry about it. You know who can see our tomorrows? God can see our tomorrows. I love Isaiah, where in Isaiah 46, he says, I am God and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the very beginning. He knows what's coming tomorrow. All right, all the things that might happen, all the things that you worry about because there's a 1% of one chance, or a one half of 1% chance or whatever that it might occur. God already knows what's going down. So how about if we let God handle that and we just begin to think about life from a kingdom perspective? And the whole idea of being in the kingdom is transformation. It's conversion. Jesus says you need to be born again. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone. It's passed away. The new has come. And so new creations require new thinking. And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't see things and think about things from that worldly perspective. We see and think about them from a spiritual perspective or a kingdom perspective. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, who has understood the mind of the Lord to instruct him? He says, but we have the mind of Christ. See, that Holy Spirit in us, that transformed, that new creation mind is the mind of Christ. And that Spirit is in us to help us through this. So this isn't out of reach, folks. In Romans 12, 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing your mind. This is through the Holy Spirit, so that we can test and discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, Jesus just told us in Matthew 6 that it is not his will for us to be anxious. And so we have that transformed minds that hopefully is going to take our mind away from this worldly trouble that we have, the anxiety that creates, and instead be in a kingdom mindset where we know that our eternal life is secure. We need to realize in this that worry is a matter of spiritual warfare. You know, if Satan can keep you folding your anxious thoughts back into themselves, kind of like you're kneading bread, it just keeps going back into itself. You're going to be so tied up in knots that you're not going to be able to do the gospel work God's called you to do. You know, what did Satan say to Eve about the forbidden fruit? He said, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the next thing we know, Eve thought it was a good thing and she eats part of the fruit. But what was her thought process in that? I mean, she couldn't have been thinking properly, could she? Obviously not. Wait, you mean God is holding something back from me? You mean there's something God's not telling? Why would God do that? Doesn't God love me anymore? What's he keeping from me? She begins to worry, I think, about what she thought she was missing out on. She thought God was trying to keep her from. She took matters into our own hands. She disobeyed God. Satan will use our anxiety against us spiritually to get us to do things that we shouldn't do that aren't in his will. 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, or they're not the weapons of this world. Our spiritual weapons have divine power to destroy strongholds. And he says we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, we need to take those anxious thoughts that we have and we make them captive to Christ and stand them up against what Jesus says about it. So what happens when we worry? Well, our thoughts get away from us and we keep following this rabbit trail of what ifs wherever we go. One thing leads to another and the potential catastrophes just build up in our minds. Anxiety builds upon anxiety. It's like anxiety squared to the nth degree. I mean, over and over and over. Unless what? Unless we take those thoughts captive to obey Christ. And when your thoughts are controlled or redirected into the will and person of Jesus Christ, then your thoughts aren't able to dwell on what bad things you anticipate that probably will never happen. And so then when you look at Philippians 4, where Paul talks about anxiety, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. That's taking that thought captive, see? It's like Paul is saying, or the Holy Spirit is saying, rejoice in the Lord. No, seriously, rejoice in the Lord. That's why he says it again. He says, like, no, seriously, I'm telling you again, rejoice in the Lord. And so when you begin to worry, one of the things we can do is let's turn that into praise. Okay? Rejoice. Don't think about the bad things that might happen. Instead, and you have to force yourself to do this, okay? It's part of transforming your thoughts. The fact that we're worrying means it doesn't come naturally for us, okay? So we got to force ourselves, let the Holy Spirit work and transform our thoughts. And instead of worry, remember the blessings, okay? Remember the blessings God's giving you, the blessings that you're living in right now, and praise Him for it. And so we have praise. The next thing we see in that Philippians selection is to pray. We need to pray. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's a tough one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so we replace worry with praise, then we lift it up in prayer. Now, when we pray, we need to leave it there at the feet of Jesus. Okay? Don't take this big burden of prayer, drop it off at the cross, spend some time talking to Jesus, and then when you leave, reach down and pick it back up and carry it back with you and keep carrying it around. That's not what the cross is for. All right? It is there to leave the burdens behind and let Jesus take care of it. Paul says if we do that, then we get the peace of God. See, if we're at peace, we're not worrying. But if we're worrying, we're not going to be at peace. Okay? He says it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. It will guard your hearts, that's your emotions, and your mind, that's your thinking. It'll guard those in Christ Jesus. And so we need praise, and we need to pray. And then what we need to do is, I just want you to ponder. Okay? He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, he says what? Think about these things. Okay? We're replacing thoughts, see? Think about the things that are pure. Think about the things that are holy and just. Meditate on the good things. And that's how we get our minds on God instead of on worry. And while we're pondering these good things, Jesus says, why don't you turn your attention to His creation? So we're pondering the good things. Oh, God, You created this world. And He says, look at the birds of the air. See? See how we're pondering now? And Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet Your Father feeds them. Are You not more valuable than they are? All these things in creation that God takes care of, He loves you more. Way more. Think about that. And then while you're at it, He says, fix your thinking on this. He says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? You know what? If we're going to get our thinking right, we need to realize that worry cannot help you. I know that's kind of a no-brainer statement. Worry cannot help you. I want you to think about the Hebrew children wandering in the desert for 40 years. Oh, You just brought us out here to kill us, God. Oh, You just brought us out here to starve us, God. I wish we were back in Egypt where at least we had 3 square meals a day. And they forgot about the whips on their back. All they could remember was the 3 square meals a day that probably weren't that square and probably weren't 3. Worry, worry, worry. And despite all that, God still loved them. He was already providing for them. And before they ever got there, He knew what He was going to do. Manna from heaven fell every day. Every day. God says, pick up enough for what? Today. And what did some people do? They start to worry. What if He doesn't come tomorrow? What if there isn't manna tomorrow, and so they pick up extra? What happened when they picked up the extra? It rotted and got wormy, and it was nasty. Did the worry help? No. They did extra work that day because of it, and they still had to go out and do the same work tomorrow picking up the manna. Daily bread, daily manna. Their worry didn't give them one extra day of bread, let alone a longer life. Jesus says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God will clothe the grass of the fields this way, which is today alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, you are more valuable. He wants to get the point across. You're the apple of His eye. Okay, He's for you, not against you. You are more than conquerors through Him who loves you. And if God is good enough and powerful enough to take care of these lesser things. He will make sure you get what you need. Okay, the children of Israel, God's chosen people. Okay, again, God loved them. His chosen people wandered in the desert for 40 years. Their clothes or shoes never wore out. Manna from heaven fell every morning for 40 years, minus the Sabbaths. Water came from a rock. Okay, worry didn't cause that. In fact, worry and fear are why they were wandering in the desert in the first place. Remember the spies? They came back. They went to test the promised land. Okay, 12 went out. 10 of them came back and says, oh, we're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. Yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but they're so big, they're just destroy us. Caleb and Joshua was like, let's go get them. They're the only two that got to go into the promised land 40 years later. Okay? Worry did that. Worry doesn't make anything better. Worry surely doesn't make God love you any more than he already does. You know, at some point of this message, I was thinking, I was going to say, well, worry won't change anything. But that's not true. Worry can make things worse. It won't make things any better, but it can make things worse. And so we need to realize that worry can harm you. Do you think that worrying about my hair made it grow back? Okay, it probably made it grow out, fall out more quickly. That and youth group kids making fun of me. But if we're going to keep our thinking straight, we need to keep in mind that worry won't help you, but it will hurt you. Okay? Jesus says if you can't get these things straight, you have a faith problem. He says, why is your faith so small? Now, he's not saying you've lost your faith, but it's a deficiency, not an absence. Now, here are some things that too much worry can cause. And this is just medical stuff. Okay? It can weaken the immune system. It can make you more likely to have colds or infections. It can give you high blood pressure. We all, if we ever worried, we know it gives us upset stomach, right? Stomach gets tied up in knots. Well, that can turn into ulcers or acid reflux. It gives us anxiety, increased rapid heartbeat, palpitations, panic attacks, cardiovascular problems. It can increase our blood sugar levels. It can give us irritable bowel problems, backaches, tension headaches or migraines, sleep problems, chronic fatigue syndrome, respiratory problems, heavy breathing. It can even make skin conditions like eczema get worse. However, based on evidence from over 1,200 studies and 400 reviews, the overwhelming majority of scientific studies highlight the positive health benefits of faith, including protection from illness, coping with illness, and faster recovery from it. And that's just if you have a strong faith in anything. That's just faith for the sake of faith. Imagine how it is when your faith is rooted in God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And so if you want to stop worrying so much, we need to praise, we need to pray, we need to ponder, we need to keep the right perspective, and we need to ramp up the faith, okay? And again, I'm not accusing anyone of not having faith. Just examine yourself. And then finally, what we need to do is we need to make some kingdom choices. We need to make some kingdom choices. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? The Gentiles seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. So the pagans or the Gentiles chased after all these necessities, and they worried themselves over them. And right here, God is telling you to choose to not be like them. Don't do it. This is the second time in this passage he says, do not be anxious. Say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek Jesus. He will take care of you. You know, I find it interesting that the one who is commanding us not to chase after food is the bread of life. The one who tells us not to ask, what shall we drink? He's the living water. The one who says, don't worry about what we will wear. The scripture commands us to clothe ourselves with Christ. What else do we need to live? Air? We need air. Acts 17:25 says that he gives all mankind life and breath and everything. What do we need? We need a home. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come and take you to be with me where I am. And so we seek his kingdom first. That is a choice. Choose to trust in God. That's another choice. Just choose to trust. That's hard. Start picking areas of your life. God, I trust you in my relationships. God, I trust you in my finances. And just start trusting God and praying that to him. God, help me to trust you in those areas. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, like force and army. But he says, no, but I trust. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so we choose to trust. We need to choose to pray. You've already talked about prayer, so we need to choose to pray. You know what? We need to choose joy over despair. Ahead of myself. Choose joy over despair. A joyful person isn't worrying. The two just don't go together. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we don't let the devil steal our joy. Don't let worry steal your joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Let his joy be your strength to overcome worry. You know, some things God would just have us use common sense. He gave you at least a little bit, right? Some of us, we just need to choose a healthier lifestyle. We'll feel better. We'll sleep better. We need to choose to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content in any situation. He said, I have learned. It's a learned thing, okay? That comes back to changing your thinking, doesn't it? Okay? He said, whether I'm sick or healthy, rich or poor, free or imprisoned, I have learned to be content. And content means you don't feel like you are lacking. And if you don't feel lack, you're not going to worry. Part of contentment is changing what you can, but then choosing to live with what you can't change in the strength and the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus couldn't change the cross. And yes, he went and he prayed about that. Fervently, so fervent that he sweat as drops of blood. He knew it was coming. He prayed about it. I don't think he worried about it. And when his prayer time was over, he embraced it as the will of the Father when he knew it wasn't going to change. I think about Johnny Erickson Tata, paralyzed from the neck down. What an amazing picture of Christ. Did she want to walk? Of course she did. But I think that she pictured for us just this life of joy and contentment in where she was. And if you saw the artwork she did, she drew it with her mouth. It was amazing. So we need to choose contentment. And then we just need to choose to do something. Idleness gives you more time to worry. When you're sitting around doing nothing, your thoughts just start rolling around in that head. They start building on each other. Gives you more time to worry. So serve. Volunteer. Plug into a ministry. Revive a ministry. Start a new ministry. Join a Bible study. Keep your body and mind from being able to dwell on what you perceive to be worrisome issues. We also need to choose something about the very things we worry about. Look for a solution. Okay? Worry does nothing to help your situation. If someone tells you they're worried about something, say, well, what are you doing about it? And if they say nothing, say, well, why not? Okay? Why not? If they tell you there's nothing to do, then if there's nothing to do, then why worry? Okay? There's nothing you can do to change it. There's no sense in worrying. I know, easier said than done. I get that. Sometimes God will provide a solution for the situation we're worrying about. He will provide a solution for the situation we shouldn't be worrying about in the first place. And sometimes God will provide you the means to do something yourself to make it better. And sometimes, like Paul, we just have to say his grace is sufficient. And we accept where God has put us in life. Finally, choose his righteousness. Okay? Choose to live in God's perfect will. Choose to live the righteous life that God wants to bless. Be humble enough to accept that God's ways are better than your ways. 1 Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so at the proper time he may lift you up or exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of fear. It is a kingdom of faith. It is not a kingdom of lack. It is a kingdom of love. God gave us not a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and self-control. Therefore, Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I already have enough junk to concern myself with for today. I don't need to borrow any from tomorrow. For the third time, God says, stop it. Don't be anxious. God wants you to take care of today. Take care of today. Do what you can. Do what you need to. Trust Him with the rest. And you know what tomorrow is going to be pretty soon? Pretty soon tomorrow will be today. And then you can take care of it then. It'll be that time to live that 24 hours loving and pursuing God, conforming your thoughts to His thoughts and your ways to His ways, while trusting Him for the next tomorrow and each and every tomorrow that God gives you until He calls you home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do. Lord, I pray that You will give us trust, that You will help us to believe where there is unbelief, that You will help take our thoughts captive to You. Lord, that You will draw us safely into Your arms so we don't have to worry about this world that is roaring around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.